This podcast is brought to you by Bluehost. Get professional web hosting for only $2.95 per month. It's for a limited time only. Go over to jimherold.com/Bluehost to get the deets.
Welcome to our gathering tonight. Here we share stories of ordinary people who have experienced extraordinary things. Sit back, relax, and warm yourself by Jim Harold's campfire.
Welcome to the campfire. I am Jim Harold, and so glad to be with you once again. And boy, we have a cornucopia of spooky stories for your paranormal enjoyment this evening. So I hope you enjoy the show, and we'll get right to it. Here are some great campfire stories. Lisa is on the line from Illinois. She's been listening for about 6 years, she speculates. She listens on Stitcher. We're ever so grateful. And Lisa has a very unique story to tell us. In fact, so much so, I'm not going to spoil it for you. I'm going to let her tell you the story. It's a very cool one. Lisa, welcome to the program and tell us what happened.
Thank you. Well, I was lucky enough to grow up in a family where the paranormal and the supernatural were pretty much very accepted, and my family never said, you know, you're crazy if you see things or hear things. And my grandmother adopted me when I was very young and raised me, and she is right now 103.
Wow.
And still going strong, and she was very much into genealogy, tracing our lineage back, and she always, as we were growing up, would talk about grandmothers and great-grandmothers and everything, and in the hallway downstairs, she had a lot of portraits and pictures of people back, our ancestors, and even of a huge old church that was from Northern England, where some of her people came from. And one set of portraits was of her grandmother and grandfather. And some of the family that lived in the southern part of the United States wanted those to be scanned so they could have them for their genealogical records. So she sent them off to some place here in town, I'm not even sure where, to be cleaned and then scanned full size so she could send those copies off to other family members.
Right.
Well, I didn't really know that this was happening. I hadn't talked to her for a couple weeks, and I was busy. I had little kids and craziness, and usually when I dream, it's pretty weird dreams, but I started having just dreams of me going about the house, doing laundry, cooking, but everywhere I went in the house, right next to me on the wall, was this grandmother's grandmother's portrait, and she's an elderly lady sitting in a chair. She's wearing a dark dress and a white bonnet, and it looks like she's got knitting or sewing in her lap. And everywhere I went, this portrait was right next to my head, and she was just talking and talking to me. And I had heard, I was listening to a podcast, and somebody was talking about an uncle who had come to them in a dream and was scolding them because of family relations. And then at school, we were watching Fiddler on the Roof, and Golda was, you know, they were all carrying on about the family, and it struck a chord with this memory that that's about what that the old lady sounded like, just going on and on about, oh, your mother, I don't know what she's done, I don't know where we are, she's given us to strangers, you've got to talk to your mother, you've got to get her to get us back home, I don't know where we are. And I just sort of ignored her and went on, but every room I would go in my dream, she would be, that portrait would be right on the wall next to me, just carrying on like crazy. So after about 3 nights of this, I finally called my mom and I said, okay, this is going to sound strange, but have you done something with Grandmother Lickus's portrait? And she said, yes, I did. I sent it out to be cleaned and scanned. And I said, well, for goodness sake, would you get her back home? She is driving me nuts. Every night I have this dream about her just carrying on about you and why did you give her away to strangers and all this. And Mom just laughed, and our family completely accept that that's an okay thing and that's a normal thing to happen. And she said, well, I'm going to pick it up today and it'll all be back home. And I never dreamed about Grandmother Lickus ever again once she was back home where she's supposed to be.
I just believe, you know, on that other side, they have a way of getting their point across, don't they?
Oh, yes. Yes. And my whole mother's family is full of people coming back, you know, dreaming about people or knocking on walls to tell family members that there was people passing. My mother early on learned not to take me to historical places because I would talk to the dead people there. And, you know, she learned not to let me around places where there might be places where there had been a lot of emotion. She took me to a slave house for a historical tour and ended up carrying me out because I was like five and I was screaming about the people bleeding and dying.
Oh my, oh my.
So she learned, don't take the small child to places or she'll start talking to the dead people.
Wow.
But it was nice to grow up in that kind of environment where it was accepted and you know, it was sort of a joining of the family lineage down through the years.
Very, very interesting. Well, thank you so much for joining us tonight on The Campfire.
Thank you very much.
Well, next up on the show is Seth. Now, he actually isn't really a listener. His wife said, listen to some of these shows, and he has a great story to tell. His wife, Ellen, says that he has. And what we're going to do is have Seth tell a story. It's something that happened that's very terrifying at his childhood home. Seth, thank you for joining us on the show, even though you're not technically a listener, and tell us what happened.
Well, you know, I typically don't subscribe to this line of thinking.
Okay.
In terms of, you know, I live my life from a very pragmatic, and I'm a cynic, you know, I'm
okay.
Skeptical of everything, but
fair enough.
This series of events occurred. And you know, I'll lay it out there and let people draw their own conclusions from the information. So basically when I was around 11 years old, I lived in this house. It's a four story, turn of the century, you know, about a 4,500 square foot house that we renovated. And when I was a kid, I don't know, this house always had this strange energy to it. And one day, these four really old ladies came by and they said that they wanted to visit the house because when they were children, one of their friends, this little boy, was terminally ill. And lo and behold, I found out after the fact that we shared the same bedroom. But they wanted to come over and kind of relive that and pay tribute to their childhood friend. So the way the bedroom was laid out, it was, you know, the foot of the bed facing the door. So when I was about 11 years old, which I do kind of subscribe to how powerful dreams are and how you live your waking life and your sleeping life. And when I was a kid, which it's crazy, but that's kind of a developmental thing that when kids are that age, they have more intense night terrors.
Right.
They're more prone to sleepwalking, this type of thing. So I'm about that age, and this dream happens. I sit up in my bed, look out the door, and through your plane of vision, through the entrance to the bedroom, there is a staircase that goes upstairs to my mother's bedroom. So I'm dreaming. I sit up in my bed in my dream, and I look through this doorway, and this probably about 55-year-old Caucasian man with slick back hair starts walking up the steps, and he stops, and he looks at me sitting up in my bed, and he starts laughing. And then he runs out of my plane of vision, and immediately he leaves the plane of vision. I look to my right, which is a window in my bedroom, and he's leaning through the window towards my bed, like grabbing at me in my dream. And then I snap out of it, and I wake up from my dream, and I have this sleep, almost like a sleep paralysis. And as I'm awake, I look over to my right, and my window is flying wide open with the blinds shooting through the window. So all those things in concert led me, you know, to come to the conclusion that, you know, there are certain energy fields, and where intense things occur, I think that resonates into our everyday lives. And sometimes you happen to go through those and have intense experiences. Mm-hmm. And that's pretty much it.
Well, I got to tell you, the thing is that, first of all, there's nothing wrong with being skeptical to a point. A lot of times I'm skeptical. And the other thing I'll say is that sometimes when I hear from somebody like you, you described yourself as a cynic. When you have an experience, sometimes it's more impressive than when it's somebody like us who really believe in this stuff. It brings on more weight because you're kind of predisposed to not believe in it. And you said, yet this happened and I can't explain. And I know that it was a little bit difficult story to share for you, but I really appreciate you coming on the show, and thank your wife, Ellen, for steering you our way.
Yeah, no problem. Yeah. Sounds like she enjoys it and a lot of other people enjoy it. So, yeah, it's all good.
Well, we certainly hope they do. And thanks so much, Seth.
All right. Sounds good.
This podcast is brought to you by Bluehost. Get professional web hosting for a very limited time for only $2.95 per month. What a deal. And with a name like Bluehost, you know, people ask me, how do I do what I do? And how did I get into all of this? I think if you have a passion, it's important to pursue it. And I think an easy way to do that, rather than jumping in right away and doing a podcast, which eventually I think is a great thing for everybody, but I think a great thing to do is start with a blog and start with a website where you talk about and write about the things that interest you. And one thing you need is a solid host for that. And certainly if you're just starting out, I think Bluehost is a great way to go. And right now they have this special spring sale. Now I will say, I'm not exactly sure when this ends. This could end in a day or two. But I know that right now, as I record this on May 20th, if you go over to Bluehost, you can get a deal where you can get web hosting, forget this, $2.95 per month. It includes a free domain, free site builders, one-click WordPress install, and most importantly, I think 24/7 support. I think that's crucial. If you're getting into all of this, you really need to know that there's somebody there to help you. And they have no hidden fees and a 30-day money-back guarantee. And you know that they're good because they power over 2 million websites worldwide. And obviously, they wouldn't be able to do that unless they do a really solid job. I recommend checking out Bluehost. Never a better time because of this special spring sale. Now, normally, their price is a very reasonable $5.95 per month, which is great, I think. But $2.95 a month? Run. Don't walk over to that website and check it out. Now, do this. Go over to jimherold.com/Bluehost. That's jimherold.com/Bluehost, and you will see the links to the sale. Now, again, I'm not exactly sure when this ends. I believe it ends sometime in May, so you want to get over there quickly while that $2.95 is still in force. Now, somebody might say, well, Jim, I can go to these sites and get this for free. I can get a website for free. And it's true, you can. But couple things you're giving up. First of all, they can put ads on your sites. ads that may be for things that you would never agree to. Okay, that's one thing. Second of all, they have control and you don't have control. One thing through having my sites I've learned over time, I'm the creator. I want to feel good about what's on my site, the way it's presented. I want to have control. Is control worth $2.95 to you a month? I think it is, if you're serious about whatever your passion is. So I highly recommend going over to jimherold.com/Bluehost, checking it out. Again, free domain, free site builders, one-click WordPress install. WordPress is what millions of sites run on, and I recommend, and at 24/7 support. And most importantly, you've got that 30-day money-back guarantee, so there is really no risk and no hidden fees. Check it out at jimherold.com/Bluehost. That's jimherold.com/Bluehost. Get your website, pursue your passion, jimherold.com/Bluehost. Thanks, Bluehost.
If you love true ghost stories, check out Jim's 4 campfire books at Amazon. Each has been a Kindle Supernatural bestseller, and they have hundreds of reviews with a 4.5 average rating. Did you know that you can get the Kindle ebook for less than the cost of a fancy coffee? Plus, the paperback is available for those of us who prefer the dead tree version. They also make great gifts, too. Find them all at Amazon or go to jimharoldbooks.com for direct links to each book. Now, back to the show.
May joins us from Texas. She's only been listening for a couple of months now. Her and some of her co-workers listen to different podcasts, and they heard about mine and tuned in, so we're so appreciative for that. And right away, she said, I've got a story to tell. This one is about, well, a pretty scary nightmare she had in her teenage years and the implications. May, welcome to the program, and tell us about this experience, and thank you for joining us tonight.
Yeah, definitely. Thank you, Jim. Excited to be on the show and share my story with everyone. This one, like you had mentioned, you know, the dream that I had when I was about a teenager, I was probably 16, 18 or so. I had just started working. I was real tired from work, got home from work, and I decided, you know, I'm just going to crash out, take a nap. And so I just lied down and fell asleep fairly quickly. And as soon as I fell asleep, for some reason, it was in two stages. I could tell that I was asleep, but I couldn't wake myself up, if that makes any sense.
Right. I understand.
So I'm kind of watching myself dream in a way, and I'm going through this corridor. I'm not too sure if it's an abandoned school or maybe an abandoned hospital, but it's typical scary dream scenario, and I seem to be lost, and I'm just wandering through the, you know, the abandoned hallways, little corridor, and I'm looking for something, and I'm, all of a sudden my whole body just kind of stiffens, like when you're really anxious, you're going up a roller coaster, and your body stiffens up when you're about to hit that drop.
Right.
Well, my body never released. I was just real stiff, real tight. And I feel my fist tightening real hard to the point where I should actually feel my nails digging into my own palms. And something's just alerting me, to telling me this is not safe. Don't go where you're going. And I'm trying to tell myself, okay, how do I tell my dreaming self, you know, don't go there. It's not safe. It's not good. And meanwhile, in the dream, I'm seeing shadows, like masses. It's not really like a person shadow. It's just a mass with no definite figure.
Mm.
And I know in the dream, I need to get out of here. And I'm kind of watching myself dream, like I said. And my breathing starts increasing. I feel I'm still asleep, and I can feel my breathing just increase and increase and increase, like I'm panicking. And I'm like, you need to wake up, May. You need to wake up. Wake up. Tell yourself you need to wake up. It's not safe. And these shadow masses are following me, are coming at me. And all of a sudden, I feel someone sit at the edge of my bed. I don't know, when you feel, you know, someone sits next to you, like, you know, like a mom or somebody,
sure,
coming to tell you to wake up. So I felt that, and it was funny because I hear my cat's bell jingle as he scuttles away. And I'm like, okay, I'm kind of in the middle. I'm like, okay, so, you know, mom, wake me up. Mom, help me. And I feel somebody put their hand kind of like on my hip. And it's strange. It felt warm, very, very warm. Like if you're using a heating pad, if you've ever used a heating pad or an electric blanket, that warmth you get after it's in a certain spot for a while.
Right.
And I was like, what? I was like, whoa, this is uncomfortably warm. And all of a sudden I feel somebody kind of open up one of my hands, like they're trying to hold my hand. And my hand starts feeling incredibly warm. Not to the point where I'm like, ouch, this is hot. It's just, whoa, this is warm. So I feel it holding my hand kind of like when kids skip through the playground or something, they don't interlock their fingers. They just kind of hold palms, they touch palms together.
Right.
That's how I felt I was holding a hand. So I grabbed on tightly and I could feel the warmth and I start feeling my breathing decrease. And I'm like, okay, I'm calming down, I'm calming down, I'm calming mm-hmm. down. Mm-hmm. And my other hand, it releases the fist and my body kind of just releases as well. It's not as stiff. And as soon as I felt it release, I would wake up. And in that instant, I woke up and I opened my eyes and all of a sudden everything on my body goes cold. And I just see the end of a white dress just kind of float off out the door. And
oh my.
I didn't move. I just kind of lie there in bed like, what do I do? What just happened? And I was really confused because usually when people tell their paranormal stories, usually they feel cold when there's like a ghostly presence.
Right.
So I don't understand the whole warmth that I felt.
That's interesting. And I don't know how to explain it either, to be honest with me, but it is an interesting wrinkle to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I don't know if anybody else has maybe experienced warm with, you know, ghost spirits. Or,
yeah, that's a good question. If anybody has, please do let us know.
Yeah, or I don't know if just the element of heat follows me. Around, my mom told me a story when I was born of an oxygen tank catching fire. And
oh,
it's just
wow.
like the heat element. Yeah, the heat element has been with me since I was born. So I don't know if maybe that's attributing to it. I do know, I was listening to one of the most recent shows, and I believe his name was Travis. He was
He's come up a couple of times tonight on our shows.
Okay, yeah, he was interested in people experiencing paranormal, experiences in homes that their family has built and has always been there.
Right.
So just I guess like a shout out to Travis. That house that I grew up in. My dad and my late grandfather built that home. And
wow.
all the paranormal experiences my family has had has been in that home and in the home my grandfather built. So
And that's the second time Travis has come up now. He's becoming a cult star on the campfire. Next time we have him on, we'll have to say special guest star Travis. No, that is so cool. Well, May, thank you so much for sharing this story. And it's interesting, we've had a lot of calls tonight as well with people who have had experiences with grandparents in different ways from the beyond. Thank you so much for being a
yeah.
part of the show.
Of course. I'm glad to be on it. And all my coworkers are going to be listening for it.
Hello, everybody. Thank you for listening. Rudy is on the line from California. He is a return caller. A couple of years ago, he had a story about missing time. And tonight he's going to tell us, a sad story, very touching, and probably one that's not made very easy for him to retell. So it's emotional. So we appreciate him coming on the show and sharing it with us. Rudy, welcome back to the program, and please tell us what happened.
All right. Thanks for having me, Jim. Well, this happened on the very early morning of February 14th, which was Valentine's Day. I was laying in bed. It was about around 3:30, 4 in the morning, and I was just awake, laying down. It's not very unusual for me to be up early because I have trouble sleeping. So I'll take melatonin when I go to bed, and it knocks me out, and then I'll wake up really early. I'll just have to lay there for a couple hours because I'm just completely rested.
Right.
So I'm in bed, and I turn over to my left toward my open side, and I see a little girl standing next to the bed, a little girl wearing a white dress. I could see flowers on the dress, even though it was dark out, and I could see white flowers on the dress, and she just had short bangs just looking at me, a little girl just standing next to the bed, and I completely freaked out. I literally screamed, like, loud, bloody murder, and I threw the blankets over my head, and immediately my wife, of course, you know, popped up. She woke up, and I didn't know at the time, but my 10-year-old daughter in one of the other rooms had actually woke up, and she was scared because she heard me scream, and she didn't want to get out of bed.
Right.
So my wife asked me, she's like, you know, what the heck, what's going on? And I said, you know, I just saw a little girl standing next to the bed looking at me. And she's like, oh my gosh, you're totally dreaming. You just woke up. I said, no, I was already awake. I was just laying here. I look over and there's a little girl standing next to the bed. And of course, you know, she doesn't believe me. I wouldn't believe me either. Or I wouldn't believe her if she told me that. So I was just totally distraught. I was just like, no, there was a girl standing next to the bed. So she's like, whatever, you know, go back to sleep, which I didn't do because I wasn't asleep anyway. So I just laid there. And again, this was Valentine's Day. So fast forward to about, you know, 8:30 in the morning, we're up and, you know, we're doing our Valentine's Day stuff with with each other. And then, you know, I'm still going on about this little girl I saw standing next to the bed. No, she doesn't believe me. And my older daughter now is kind of freaking out. She's like, what? What are you talking about? And I'm like, I saw this girl standing next to the bed. And I'm about to text one of my best friends at work to tell her the story. Like, you're not going to believe. And all of a sudden my phone rings. And it's one of my sisters. I have four sisters. And one of my sisters tells me, you know, that one of my older sisters was in the hospital and it was looking really bad. They didn't think she was going to make it. And I was like, what? And I was just completely freaking out. And she's telling me, yeah, this morning about, you know, 4:30 in the morning, 4 in the morning, she had a massive brain aneurysm. She had taken my niece, which was her daughter, to the hospital. And she was just sitting there in the hospital room with her. And my sister basically kind of closed her eyes and that was it. It's a massive brain hemorrhage. She was pretty much brain dead from the moment it happened. But yeah, horrible. But because she was actually in the hospital, they got her hooked up to life support and everything. So her body was alive, but she was just gone. So my sister was freaking out, and I get off the phone, and I'm just sitting there, I could not believe what I just heard. I was like, oh my god! And then my wife's like, oh my god, think about it. She's all, think about that little girl. And I was like, what? And she's like, think about that. Think about your sister when she was young. Cause my mom has pictures, of course, at home, at her house, of my sister when she was young. Of course, her hair, she had short bangs. Cause this was like the late 50s, early 60s. She has short bangs, you know, even like the style of dressing. I saw the little girl. And I'm just totally freaked out. Like, oh my gosh, like what did I just see? Did I see my sister? I don't know what happened, but it was the time frame, pretty much the time I saw it, about 4 in the morning, you know, a little bit after 4, it was exactly the time that my sister basically, you know, that she basically checked out. So that just completely freaked me out. And, you know, all that day, Valentine's Day, you know, I'm kind of getting news from the hospital. And the next day, we go to the hospital, on the 15th, which was Monday, and I'm just completely freaked out because I already know in my heart that I don't think my sister's going to make it because she was pretty much gone.
Right.
So we all had hope. We all had hope, of course, and my wife was telling me, you know, you got to tell, you know, my niece and my nephew, her kids, the story. And I was like, I don't think they want to hear that. And I told it to them, and, you know, it brought them comfort because to them it was like, whoa, did our mom just kind of send a message, or, you know,
right.
as she was checking out, did she just come to you? Because I was close with my sister. I have four of them, and of the four, she's the one I talk to the most, and, you know, kind of like my biggest cheer, my bigger cheerleader of my four sisters. So I don't know. You know, I'm a Christian, and I don't believe in ghosts. I do believe in familiar spirits, that there's things out there
right.
that take the form of our loved ones. They know that energy, and they know what's going to, you know, really grab us if it appeared to us that way. And that's what I think happened anyway. So,
well,
pretty much the story there.
It's amazing, amazing story. And I lost a sibling as well, and I know that can be an extremely difficult thing, and my sympathies to you, but thank you for listening. And thank you for sharing that story on the Campfire tonight.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you so much. No problem.
Well, next up on the Campfire, we have a treat for longtime Campfire listeners, or if you're a member of the Plus Club and you go back and listen to the archive, there's a great story that immediately when I saw this, I knew the story that Madison from Alabama, who's on the line, was talking about. Her dad was on the show way back in 2011, 5 years ago, and he had a story about going over to a friend's house, and he was by himself, or at least he thought he was. He went in the house, and they were all going to go out for a night out in town to see a comedian, and they asked about the passengers in the car, whether the passengers in the car were going to come in. And he said, what passengers? And they both had seen people in this car. Were they ghostly passengers? Well, we have a big update on this, because Madison from Alabama is David's daughter. And she is going to share kind of a continuation and some added parts to the story and some things that happened to her and the people who saw the ghosts. So, Madison, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Jim.
Tell us what happened.
All right. So I wanted to set up kind of a little bit of a timeline. Our friends saw that man. They saw a man and a woman, and particularly the man in the blue shirt in the front seat. They saw him when I was either 9 or 10. And my dad told a short story about me and him seeing the man in the blue shirt at the end of our driveway. That happened when I was 11.
And there was lightning involved in that one, wasn't
yeah,
there?
Yeah, it was very theatrical. Like, not usually what you have when you experience those things. It was like a movie almost. So I have a story that occurred inside the house of the people who saw the passengers in my dad's car. So I was at this friend's house. They have a lot of activity in their home, particularly with one entity that they like lovingly call Pierre. We don't believe him to be malevolent at all. He's been around for 20 years. Like her kids know him, and they're grown with their own children now. So I was 13. She's kind of like a grandmother to me. So I was going to stay the night with her. And later that evening, I went back into my bedroom to go to sleep, and I turned the TV to Disney Channel. I remember because Hannah Montana was on. And I was watching just one show after the other. I've always been kind of an insomniac, and I fell asleep with the TV on. I woke up suddenly about an hour or so later to like the loudest static you've ever heard. Like the volume had to have been all the way up on the TV.
Wow.
So I got up and I checked the cable connection, and it was good. And no matter what channel I turned it to, it stayed static. It was one of the TVs that had like the DVD
yep.
attached to it.
Yep.
So I changed the component, and it wouldn't do anything but give me static screen. It wouldn't even let me change the volume or anything. So I turned the TV off and I laid back down, and I don't know how much time had passed since then, but I fell back asleep and the TV turned back on with the loud static again and woke me up. So I was like, I'm done. I unplugged it and it turned off. Thank goodness. I don't know what I would have done if it hadn't. And I went and slept in bed with this friend. The next morning I went back into that room to find that the TV was working fine. So, that was like a little experience I had that night. And the next morning, me and this friend were in her basement, in her hair salon. She cut hair in her basement, and she was cutting my hair. And we start hearing things walking and moving around above us, which is like a pretty common occurrence in our house. What's not common was us hearing it walk down the stairs. And she stopped what she was doing, and she walked towards the staircase, and she was like, okay, I need you to stop it now. Like, you're freaking me out. And it stopped for a few minutes, and then maybe 5 minutes later, this was so cool, we hear it walk into the shop, hear it sit down in the shampoo chair, like that's connected to the sink, like right next to us. And we can see the indentation of someone sitting there.
Oh, wow. Ooh, we've had people talk about that. And that's a weird thing where you don't actually see the, like an outline or anything, but you see their imprint.
Yeah. You see their little butt print. So it freaked us out a little, but we'd both experienced so many things. We just kind of kept on with our business and it left after a few minutes. We like heard it get up and walk out of the room. And then I have two short stories about the man in the blue shirt who we believe to be one of my great uncles, who I never met. He died shortly before I was born. But he had a personality very similar to mine and my father's. So we kind of figure that he is attached to us somehow. We're not really sure how that works, but he's not a bad entity. So, I saw him again. So I saw him the first time when I was 11. I saw him again when I was 15. I was like running and training for my soccer team. In our neighborhood, and we had just dead ends at the end of our neighborhood, and they led to woods for like 30 miles back. So nobody's like walking around back there. It was a state park behind it. So I'm running and I turn to go towards my house, which was on a corner leading to one of those dead ends. And I look and he's standing at the edge of the woods, like slightly in the shadows. And he watched me run back up to my house. And it was really weird because I didn't feel scared. I felt protected and I knew exactly who he was. I didn't think he was one of my neighbors. I knew he was the man in the blue shirt. So that was my first one I saw without my dad. And then the second one, I saw him last year. I was 20 and I had been having problems in the house that I was living in.
Right.
The house was relatively new, but it had like a really heavy atmosphere, you know, when you walk in and it's just so heavy.
Sure.
There was something off. So I'd only been there for 2 months. I never figured out what it was. In this house, we had two sets of smoke alarms. One was attached to our home security system and they were hardwired together. And there was another set that didn't have batteries and weren't connected at all. So I was home alone and it was quiet and all five of these old fashioned smoke alarms like rang off at once.
Ooh.
With that loud shrieking. And I grabbed my phone and ran out of the house. It was raining. And after I calmed my heart rate back down, I went back in the house to check for smoke or to see if the security system was going off because it's supposed to call the fire department. And I, of course, found nothing. Like, what else would happen? My roommate and I confirmed that the alarms that had sounded off at the same time were the battery powered ones because we checked the security system ones. We tampered with them and immediately got a call to ask if everything was okay. And when they started shrieking, it wasn't the sound that I heard. And then we confirmed that none of the battery power ones had batteries. So this happened on two occasions and it terrified me. And I've seen things like this my entire life. I used to fall asleep watching shadow figures walk up and down my hallway.
Oh my goodness.
So it takes a lot to scare me out of a house. Never mind scare me out twice. There was something trying to terrify me, not just notify me of its presence. So from then on, I didn't like being alone in the house. It was too heavy. But the day after the second time it happened, I was cooking and I looked to my left and saw our man in the blue shirt again. And I didn't feel scared. I felt protected. And I called my dad right away and told him. And I hadn't had another experience in the house after that. So I thought that was kind of cool.
Now, do you think, you know, I've heard and I've said this on the show before, so if I repeat myself, I apologize to everybody. But some people say places are haunted, but other people say people are haunted. Do you think that maybe in the case of you and your dad, and maybe it's something like that runs in the family, that you guys are more sensitive to this stuff?
Oh, definitely. We have three pages of stories we want to call in and tell you, you know. So we have always experienced stuff and continue to. So
well,
I definitely think you're sensitive to it.
Well, we want to hear more from both of you. So say hello to your dad. And thank
I will.
And thank you so much for being a part of the campfire and continuing a story. How neat. A story from 5 years ago. We get unfolding chapters and more information thanks to Madison. Thanks again for being on the show.
Thank you so much, Jim.
Do you find yourself often wondering, when is the next campfire coming out? How can I get my fix of spooky stories? Well, unless you've been listening since 2009 and never missed an episode, I have a way that you can do that. Anytime, access hundreds, actually thousands of campfire stories, hundreds of episodes. It's over at my Paranormal Plus Club at jimherold.net, and it's a great time to get in because now, through May 31st, we have a great sale going on. And basically, the deal is this. If you sign up for our monthly offer, our monthly membership, which includes access to, I think it's about 1,200 podcasts now that are no longer on the free fee. Hundreds have never been free. Then we've got all the classic campfire podcasts and all the classic paranormal podcast episodes, plus video and more. Anyhow, if you subscribe now, your first month will only be $3.95. That's your first month will be only $3.95. It's a great time to jump in, but hurry up because it's only good through May 31st, this special deal. So catch on to it. Grab the chance. It's over at jimherold.net. That's jimherold.net. It's my Paranormal Plus Club. Check out our spring sale now through May 31st. Matt is on the line from Fargo, North Dakota. Namesake for that great television show and also a great movie. But Matt has a strange story about when he was out with his brothers late at night in the wilderness and some strangeness ensued. He's been listening for about a year and a half, 2 years on Stitcher. We're so grateful. Matt, welcome to the program and tell us what happened.
Hi, Jim.
Hello.
My brothers and I go, we go catfishing out in North Dakota and we like to go at night. And I go with one brother, he's the youngest one, and we go, him and I usually go every weekend, and every once in a while, the middle one will come with, and we were all in our 30s, and this one time, we went out there, and we went at night, and we went on a part of the riverbank where the river was starting to fall in, and it's way outside of town where there's nobody else out there. And we start a nice fire, and you know how when you start a fire and you can't see past the wall of darkness that the fire makes?
Right.
The one rule that I have with my brother and I, the youngest one that I usually go fishing with, is if you hear noise out past the radio, you just kind of ignore it, because there's not really a whole lot you can do about it unless it's running right at you. So we always leave the radio on. And a lot of the times we went out there and we would listen to Art Bell Coast to Coast because it was great.
Oh, yeah.
With the campfire. Well, you understand the campfire, right, Jim?
Absolutely.
So we were out there catfishing. It was probably around 12:30 at night. Nice starry night at the fire going. And the one brother that doesn't go with us all the time, I could see he was kind of... He had the radio on his lap and he was kind of looking into the darkness. His eyes were a little sketchy and bouncing around. And he said, "Do you hear a third voice that's talking over Art Bell's voice and his guest voice? It just sounded like someone was in the background."
Right.
And my younger brother said, "Yeah, I do hear that." And then it stopped and the radio kept going. And then we said, just it's fine. It'll just pass. And about 10 minutes later, I could tell he heard it again. I couldn't hear it personally, but I could see his eyes darting around again. And before we could say anything, he reached and pushed the power button and turned the radio off. And it was just dead silent out. And we were like, "You turn the radio off. You turn the radio off." And then we heard what he heard. And it sounded a lot like an EVP. But it sounded gurgly, and it was, and it kept getting closer, and I could tell my brother heard it without us saying anything, because I could see the color drain from my, the one that had the radio on his lap, the color just drained from his face. My hair felt like it was standing up, and the other one just stared in the darkness, and I could tell we all heard it. And the last gasp it said, it probably went on for about 15 seconds, was it went, "Help."
Ooh.
And then it stopped. And the middle brother that doesn't go with us all the time slammed the antenna down and said, "I'm out of here." And he just walked up. He goes, "You guys are freaks doing this stuff at night." So he just left, went to the car. And I said, "We can't leave. What if someone got hurt and fell in the river?" because it sounded like someone's voice, but it did sound like an EVP, almost identical to the EVPs you hear on TV shows and stuff.
Sure.
So, but we did pack up all the stuff. We put out the fire, and then I said, let's just walk to the riverbank and yell. Does anybody need any help just to see? So we walked out to the riverbank, and I said, does anybody need help? And there wasn't a reply, and I waited for maybe a half a second, and we got back in the car and left. But all the way home, I kept thinking about that voice. We talked about it, thought about it, and it bothered me when I got home. It was kind of like that, I think it was a hitchhiker. Was it the Twilight Zone?
Oh, yeah, yeah, Going My Way?
Yeah, and you could keep, that voice kept coming back. I kept waiting to hear that voice again when I got home, and I said, if I hear that, I'm jumping out the bedroom window. And I woke up in the morning, thought about it again, and I went to the front door, grabbed the paper and put it down, and they fished a body out of the river the previous day in the afternoon. So when we were out there, it was the first night that that body was in the river earlier that day.
So your speculation was the ghost of that body, possibly?
I don't know, but it did sound like that, and I know all three of us heard it at the same time.
Wow. Wow. You don't think there's any chance this person was still alive and crying out for help, do you?
No, they found his body earlier that day,
so he was already out
of the river.
Wow.
And there's nobody else out. It's pretty far out of town. It's probably about a half hour out of town.
I bet that really made you think when you heard about that.
Yep, but we still go fishing.
You will not be deterred.
No, but that was the one ghost. Big event.
Well, that's a great one. Thank you so much. We certainly appreciate it. And good luck catfishing. And
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you for listening to The Campfire and being a part of it tonight.
You're welcome. Have a good night.
Susan is back on The Campfire. You remember a few weeks ago, she told us about an encounter with a dark presence. And now she's going to tell us about a series of unexplained and sinister events. Susan, welcome back. I know it's been a few weeks. It just feels like a few moments ago, but I'm so glad to speak with you again. Tell us what happened.
Okay, well, let's see. This account happened about, 5 years ago, I'm not sure, but at the time I was rooming with a friend of mine in western South Dakota. And so I had only lived with her for about 5 months. Mm-hmm. But each month there seemed to be some paranormal happening. And it was just, you know, really weird. And so I'll just try to be brief. Perhaps in October,
mm-hmm.
I would be at home alone during the afternoon, and I would hear footsteps come walking up the wooden steps, and the steps would stop at the door, which was closed.
Mm-hmm.
And the first time I heard it, I was naturally heebie-jeebie, and I thought, okay, well, I'm definitely not going to answer that door because I know I'm the only one here. And I think that happened for about 4 days.
Mm-hmm.
And then it stopped, and I didn't hear anything, any more footsteps. So I thought, okay, well, good, I don't have to worry about that. Let's see, in, I think it was November, my roommate and I had told her about these weird things.
Right.
And we had told another friend of ours these weird things. And so this friend had called us, and she said, okay, I'm going to be on the phone with you, and I want you to do these steps with me. So we went into the basement, and in each corner of the basement, we placed a plate of salt. And I guess salt is supposed to be protective.
Right.
And so we did that, and then we were at the crawl space, and we placed a plate of salt there. And then we were, all three of us, we were reciting the Lord's Prayer. And as we were reciting, we heard this terrible, loud, heavy noise above us. It sounded like heavy booted footsteps, or it sounded like something heavy was being dragged across the floor, and the ceiling was vibrating. And my roommate and I looked at each other, and we thought, okay, we don't know what that is. And then after that noise went away, my roommate said, well, maybe it was the dryer, because she had things in the dryer. And I said, that wasn't no dryer. And so there is, you know, that account. Then in December, 2 weeks before Christmas, to me, this is the creepiest of all. Every night between 11, maybe between 10:30 and 11, or a little bit later, we would hear coming up from the basement this creepy, eerie, tinny circus music. It was just creepy. It would play like a stanza or a verse of music, and then it would stop and pause for a bit, mm-hmm. and then the same thing over and over. And it would last anywhere from a minute until one night it woke me up, and it played for like 4 hours. And there was nothing down in the basement to account for that music. There wasn't there wasn't a music player or anything.
That's chilling music, disembodied music, yeah. And you don't know where it's coming from. That's particularly chilling.
Yeah, yeah, and there's no way I was ever going to go down there while it was playing. And then suddenly that ended. And then I have two more accounts to this real quick.
Okay.
Then later that month of December, I was at my storage shed, and I was packing up some things because I was going to move to another town to be closer to my work. And so this particular afternoon, I had spent like 5 hours in the storage shed, unheated, cold. I get back home, and I knew my roommate had told me earlier that she would be gone. So mm-hmm. pull up home. She wasn't home. I walk up on the porch. I pull out my key, put it in the lock to turn it, and it wouldn't turn. And I thought, what? What's going on? So I did this a few more times until it hit me that somehow the bolt had been slid across the lock. And that really scared me because none of us had ever used that bolt before.
Ooh.
And I thought, okay, so me, I just keep trying in the vain hope somehow I'll get in. And then it occurred to me, somebody doesn't want me inside this house. And that really scared me. And I thought, okay, well, what am I going to do? So I called another friend of ours just to while the time away with her a bit until I could figure out what to do. I get off the phone with her. Then I call my roommate, and she said, well, I'm having supper with my friends. I said, well, I don't care. I need you to come back here and help me out here. And she said, well, okay, it'll be a while. I don't know when. Well, she didn't show up until later. But anyway, I keep trying the lock, and then I say, okay, this is the last time. If it doesn't work, I'm just going to go somewhere and sleep. I don't know where. Well, then the lock, I heard the bolt slid and the door, you know, the key door opened. I was inside a warm house. Finally, so I took a shower, went straight to bed, and then I was not quite tired yet, and I was watching my room. It was a normal dark bedroom. Pretty soon, I see this ball of light mm-hmm. rise up from the carpet, up the closet door, which is closed, up across the ceiling, into the far corner opposite of where I was sleeping or laying. And then suddenly, the dark room lit up. Like a circus hot oil lamp or something.
Right.
And I thought, okay, this is really weird. And I'm watching the ceiling, and there's a shadow of a big bird on the wall, and its wing is kind of sticking out. And I'm marveling at myself. I'm really calm. I'm just watching this. And then it suddenly morphs into a shrouded figure with its wing still sticking out. And then that's when the blankets went over my head.
Oh, boy. Wow. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, and I had the feeling when I was looking at the shadow thing that it was like letting me know that I'm not wanted here. And so anyway, so the blankets come off my head, the room is back to normal, and I go back to sleep. Now, the last incident was, it happened in early January, and I had come home from, we were still at our home before our new home. I mean, before we each had moved to our new place.
Right.
So we were still at the old place. I came home from work, and one thing I always noticed, whenever I'd come home from work, my roommate was always home before I was. We both had the same job, and always thought that was weird. Anyway, I get home this afternoon, and I'm telling my friend about this crazy client of ours. We were both in home health at the time.
Right.
And so my roommate, she says, well, I don't know what you're talking about. And I said, well, what do you mean? Of course you know what I'm talking about. You've had her before, too. She said, Susan, I have no idea what you're talking about. And when she said that, she sounded like a lost little girl. And I looked at my roommate when she said that, and my roommate had these bright blue eyes, and at that moment, her eyes went black completely. It was like a curtain had, you know, gone over them. And then they just, this, you know, then they went back to blue. And in that split second, I knew exactly what I had been dealing with this whole time. And that's pretty much it.
Well, there you have it. There you have it.
Yeah.
Well, I've got to say, your last story you were on last time was quite chilling, as was this one. Thank you so much for joining us on The Campfire today.
You're welcome. And I hope you were as spooked as I was.
One of our favorite callers is back on the line, Travis from California. Now, you'll remember he's had many stories, a series of stories about his grandmother's house, but this is something completely different. And, and Travis was concerned he's calling in too much. And I said, no, I said, Campfire without Travis is a travesty. Is a travesty. So, so Travis is on the line. Tell us this latest story, Travis.
Oh, okay. Well, I didn't think there's any problem. Let's see. I'm kind of a night person, not as much as I used to be. And I live in Shasta County, and there's and between Shasta and Tama, and there's Red Bluff, Cottonwood, Anderson, Redding. I go to. I have some friends that live in Redding. And we will meet at a club, you know. But one thing I wanted to add right off the bat, I know I've said this before, but when I say we meet at the club, I am the only person. I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't do anything. The hardest thing that I drink is an orange juice with some lime juice in it. So the reason why I say that is because you'll understand. A couple months ago, I was coming home. And the way that our freeway is situated is like there's a two-lane freeway going south and a two-lane freeway going north, but they're not next to each other. They're separated by very, very, very large hills, okay? There are no valleys, there's no gullies, there's just big hills. One night, I was driving home, and by the big green sign where it tells you what part of the freeway you're on, I saw this cat. And the cat, I'm an animal lover. I belong to every kind of animal charity. I've lost count how many. And the cat was coming towards, it was on the shoulder of the road. And now you have to remember, I had my brights on. And the cat was walking by the sign, and it didn't even act like I was coming. You know how even instinctually, if you're an animal or human, you will instinctually know that there is a car coming?
Right.
Right. And I felt really bad, and I thought, oh, that poor little thing, you know, that I felt really bad. And there's no way where this cat could go because we're surrounded by very big hills, okay? There are no gullies that it could go or run back and forth in. And I felt really bad, and I thought, oh, poor little thing. And I drove by, and then I would say a couple weeks later, I was coming home, and same spot, right by the green sign, I see a cat walking on the shoulder again, not even acknowledge me, the same cat. And I thought, oh, that poor little thing. And the third time, about a week ago, I'm driving, same time, same spot. I see a cat, and I thought, wait a minute. I thought, what's going on here? Because it's like we're repeating a loop in time here. And the cat was just walking, and I thought, oh, that poor little thing, but some flags were coming up. And then just a few nights ago, I'm coming home, say around 1:30, same spot, same sign, and there's the cat again. And I thought, okay, this is ridiculous. So what I did is, because there was no vehicles on the freeway, and I'm not advocating to anybody to do what I did, I stopped right in the middle of the freeway, and I turned my car completely around. And I turned my brights on. There was no cat to be seen when I turned around. And there is no possible way that that cat could scale those hills. So what I'm thinking, unfortunately, I may be seeing a replay in time of, unfortunately, maybe the cat getting hit. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Right.
It's the same thing. It's walking the same. It looks the same. And it is not acknowledging my lights whatsoever. Nothing. And sadly, I'm wondering if, you know, this poor little cat didn't maybe get hit. And for whatever reason, I am seeing a replay. Because it's always roughly about the same time, about 1:30 in the morning, same spot. And I, like I said, it wasn't until the third time I saw it that I thought, this is like a loop. And then the fourth time, and like I said, I turned around at the cat, nothing, nowhere to be seen, and there's no possible way that that cat could have went anywhere without me seeing it. So, like I said, sadly, I do think that maybe the poor little thing got hit or something happened, and I am seeing a replay in time.
Oh, my.
Yeah, that's and interesting. I feel really, really bad because I'm an animal lover, and, you know, it would just kill me to think that there was an animal that was, you know, stuck, like redoing the thing over and over and over again. So I don't know if I'm seeing its ghost or if I'm seeing nothing more than a loop back, you know, a loop in time. The cat is not transparent. The cat is a solid, and it's just, it's walking, it's kind of trotting, it has its head up, but it's not acknowledging that I'm coming toward it. You know, understand
right.
what I'm saying?
I know what
it's
you're
not
saying.
Looking at me, or right. it's not looking at my car like, okay, here's the car coming down on me. But like I said, by the third time, little red flags were going up, and I thought, wait a minute here. And then by the fourth time, like I said, when I turned my car completely around, which that was so illegal, but moving on, you know, that I did that, and the cat's gone. And like I said, it's surrounded by very tall hills, and there's no place that could, there's nowhere that cat could go at all. So, you know, hang on.
No problem. We know about cats, and now we know about dogs. And believe me, Travis, don't feel badly. I have two dogs here, and I'll be recording an interview, and all of a sudden they'll see somebody walk down the street, and it's like I'm reaching for my mute button here. So I empathize with you. Folks, you don't know how many times I've muted my mute button so you wouldn't hear my nice
Lily
dogs.
The phone rang, and I'm like, Lily, no, be quiet now. So,
they typically don't listen, but we still love them. So so this run-in, you think you were just in some kind of time replay?
I don't think that I was in the loop. I think
the cat was.
Cat is.
Yeah.
And like I said, it's in the same spot, the same time, roughly the same time, 1:30 in the morning. Don't get me wrong. It doesn't happen all the time, but it has happened four times now.
Wow.
And now, since I am on guard, I haven't seen it. So I, you know, your guess is as good as mine, but the cat, I feel really bad, and I really genuinely hope that, you know, the poor little thing's not stuck in some loop, you know. But hey, you know, I mean, it happens to people, so I'm assuming that it could possibly, unfortunately, happen to an animal, you know.
Yep, so, that's something else.
So, you know, it's up for your listeners to decide. But like I said, it was like, you know, that movie Groundhog Day?
Yeah, it kept happening again and again.
It kept happening again. And, you know, like I said, that poor thing. And then, like I said, by the third time, I'm like, the red flag. And then the fourth time, I'm like, oh, no. And I turn around, and there's nothing to be seen.
There you go.
And now that I'm looking for it, I don't see it. So I don't know if maybe you can see loops in time when your brain isn't cognizant of what it's seen, but when you're cognizant, you don't see it, you know?
Right.
And I really don't want to see it again. I don't want to see it again because it hurts my feelings very badly. Because like I said, I'm an animal lover, and I just would hate to think that, you know, a poor little cat would be stuck in some kind of eternal loop.
Yeah, that's sad.
I'm hoping what I'm seeing is just not its ghost, but just a loop. Not anything intelligent, you know.
Well, thank you again, Travis. As always, it is a pleasure. I know exactly what you're saying. Thank you again for being a part of the campfire.
No problem. Thank you very much, Jim. Goodbye.
Well, I hope that you enjoyed this program as much as I did. Some great campfire stories, and there are always more coming out all the time. And also, please do check out our Paranormal Plus Club at jimherold.net. Never a better time to jump on board. Your first month for only $3.95. And then if you have your own passion that you want to pursue, jump on that Bluehost sale, that spring sale. Web hosting, great web hosting for only $2.95 a month. Check that out at jimherold.com/Bluehost. We thank you so much for joining us. We will talk to you next time. And as always, stay spooky. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to Jim Harold's Campfire. Tune in again next time for more stories of ordinary people who have experienced extraordinary things.